coming to you from sunny Los Angeles, California. This is 30 Minute Mentors. Leaders to listen to with Adam Mendler. Here is your host, Adam Mendler.
I am joined today by a very special guest, a leader of literally hundreds of thousands of people. Dr. Kamlesh Patel, also known as Daji, is a spiritual leader, acclaimed author, yoga master, and mindfulness guru. For those of you not familiar with Dr. Patel and with what he brings to the table, you will be by the end of today's episode. Dr. Patel, thank you for joining me, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
First things first, how did you get here? I understand that your background is as an entrepreneur and in the business world. Can you talk a little bit about your early days building businesses?
Well, I started this meditation while I was studying in the School of Pharmacy. I was in third year when I started this meditation. I stumbled upon this way of meditation through a friend of mine. And then after graduation, I moved to New York, where I got my license to practice as a pharmacist. And then slowly I started pharmacy business and developed to a few drug stores in New York and New Jersey. And I think I can give a lot of credits to the way of this heartfulness way of practice of meditation, because it guides you continuously of what to do, what not to do during your meditations. I think it not only business, but also at every behavioral level, every thought level, at every cross junctions that we meet in our life, you know, it helps us to decide which way to take and which way not to take, especially. So in short, I think this system of meditation has helped me tremendously in making decisions correctly at each stage in life.
Going back to your time as an entrepreneur, what are some of the things that you remember that are most impactful to what you do now in your role as a spiritual leader and mentor and guide to hundreds of thousands of people in helping them live more mindful lives?
Yeah. Well, you know how our pharmacy business is in the United States, right? There is a over-the-counter area, there's a prescription area, there's a, you know, if the drugstore is even bigger, then you will have surgical stuff. You may even have a groceries things inside your store. And key factor in running a pharmacy as an entrepreneur, I'm not talking about Walgreens or CVS or corporate or chain drugstores. I'm talking about independent mom-and-pop pharmacies where you depend on many people who help you every day and every night, actually. And when you are on a tour, for example, you're working in one drugstore, you move to the next drugstore, or you're in out of state, or you're traveling abroad for another work, you leave your place with the confidence and with the trust that my people who are working with me will succeed. So always I remember that what makes me successful was this trust level, respect for each other. That has helped me a lot, that we can freely trust each individual. It's only when we don't trust individuals, we get into problems. And of course, sometimes or the other person may misunderstand you during the business times and may do a wrong thing. But then this meditation teaches you how to understand the other person better. So though other person has made a mistake, you realize that he has made a mistake and you have a frank conversation. Then it goes away and he would repeat it again. And that's what helps me, that I can trust people. If I can trust a world, in the material world, in the pharmacy world, I can trust them with cash operations and banking. I can certainly trust in a spiritual organization people who have faith. Based on that, I think we are able to make moves in all directions, and we are able to trust people, and that's why we are in more than 135 countries in the world. People are practicing without any hindrance, without any hesitations, and more than that, having practiced, they experience the thing they all expect in from meditation.
Can you talk about, at a very high level, your advice and philosophy on how people can live a more mindful and, in your word, heartful life?
It's very easy. We all have some level of conscience. Follow your conscience. That's as simple as that. When heart speaks louder, follow that. And I have seen that heart speaks louder when we are about to do wrong things. Haven't you noticed it? That when I was supposed to do something wrong, heart starts pumping faster or heart becomes heavier. Avoid that. Per contra, when I have to decide something really good, heart will not say anything. Heart will give some level of confidence, though, that yes, you can do this. Let me make it very clear from this what I mean. People say you should follow your heart and heart always guides you correctly. How to understand this? Let us say, heart never misguides us. Heart speaks volumes when we do wrong thing. Heart follows what is natural. Now, what I mean by natural is this. When I'm able to see things properly, or when I'm able to hear properly, my heart doesn't give any signal. But the day I have some issues, my eyes are burning, not able to hear properly, heart will tell you, oh, it's time to visit doctor. So anytime there is a natural thing, heart will signal us that you got to attend to this. When we are doing things in a natural way, heart will not speak anything. Heart will only give you confidence that go ahead and do this. So this is one part of it. Second part of this whole heartfulness way is we should not ignore spirituality for material world. And we should not get into material world so much that our spiritual life suffers. I need to play with, I could need to juggle with both wings of my existence. And that's very simple that, you know, whenever we are doing something, whether I'm driving or I'm cooking or taking meals or I'm with my friend, I can remain with my heart attentive to my spiritual life. I can play a game while keeping this attention inward. And to cite an example of how meditation can help, I don't know if you used to watch Chicago Bulls playing in 80s and 90s when Michael Jordan was it.
I used to root against the Chicago Bulls. I'm a Laker fan. And I used to, as a kid, root against Michael Jordan, and he always used to win. So it wasn't a very happy era for me as a basketball fan. But I do remember it very well.
I do give credit to Phil Jackson, though.
Great coach. Phenomenal.
Yeah. He gave importance to meditation. And before each game, whether it was a test game or a trial game or just a practice or a final game, he would make them meditate for a few minutes before the start of a game. And when he joined Lakers, he did the same thing. He taught all the players how to meditate because he was a Zen meditator. And when we meditate, we are able to focus and harness our attention, our energies on a goal. And you are so focused and you are so much in resonance with the other players. Then teamwork also gets improved.
Along those lines, can you give advice? I'm going to ask a little bit about how people can better incorporate meditation into their daily routines. So for starters, for people who don't meditate at all, what is your advice on the easiest and most likely way to adopt some form of meditation into your daily routine?
Well, one has to first determine, I want to pursue this. Okay. And having decided, you pick up any system of meditation. Meditation means focusing your mind on simple object. You need to focus on one object and relax. With heartfulness way, we meditate on the heart, thinking that divine principle is already there in my heart, and that's all. You sit with this idea for about 10 minutes to 15 minutes and see what happens. The day you meditate, you make a journal and see the differences. One day you meditate, see how your day goes. Second day you skip it, see how your day goes. Third day you meditate and see how your day goes. Likewise, you start appreciating. You see, in science, when we experiment in pharmacy, developing new drugs, you are a scientist, you are your laboratory, where you run all kinds of experiments, new product is developed. With meditation, you are the scientist, your heart is the laboratory, and the kind of experience you feel is the new product. Now, the day you when you meditate and have this new level of consciousness, see how it is. Do you like it? Do you miss it the day you don't meditate? How your day was spent the day you meditated, and how your day was spent when you didn't meditate. This will tell you a volume about what meditation is all about, what it can do to us at a consciousness level. So I think people are very smart. And when you feel that, yes, I can really benefit every single day, the day I meditate, then I don't think we need to tell them any other things. They will meditate regularly then, see.
For people who do meditate, what advice do you have on how they can take their meditation practices to the next level?
No one asked me this question before. Thank you. It's a very smart one. Now, you're first I have to understand, do I need to take it to the next level? Am I frustrated enough with my present level of meditation? I give you this website or this app called Hearts App. You meditate with this Hearts App where they utilize the power of transmission. Okay. Just as we were trying to compare day with meditation, day without meditation. Now, I would like you to do an experiment. Meditation the way you like it, and you meditate the heartfulness way with transmission, and see how fast you can change and go very, very, very deep in your meditation. So again, an experiment I'm offering, which can change your consciousness in the very first session. You know, this lot of experiments were done by the Harvard, in the Harvard University, about how consciousness changes in case of monks who have been meditating for numbers of years. To their credit, they must have had almost 20,000 hours of meditation aggregated. And there, when they put EEG probes to measure the shifts in the consciousness, you see certain waves, either gamma or delta. But with this heartfulness meditation, even if you are first-time meditator, but when you meditate with this transmission, you're able to see the same waves in the very first session, and your experience you'll say, wow, this is something out of the world.
A big part of what you talk about and what you do, and your work has literally touched millions of people, not an exaggeration, which is incredible, is how to make better and more effective decisions. And as a leader, as a CEO, as an entrepreneur, there's little more important than good decision making. And I want to know if you could talk about how to make better decisions, the decision-making process, and your advice on that. I really give you free rein because this is an area that I think is incredibly valuable to all of our listeners.
Thank you. Is what meditation does, it improves, first of all, your consciousness. Now, consciousness is made up of four major things. Rather, three major things, I'm sorry. One is ego. Second is intellect. And third is mind. Now, when we meditate, mind becomes very sharp. Your intellect improves to the extent of becoming intuitive, becomes wiser. And ego gets so much refined that your ego goes to the next level. Let me explain to you this ego business first. When you are a player, or when you are just now, when you gave an example of Lakers, that you're a Lakers fan, and I say, I was only saying, did you see the Chicago Bulls playing in the 80s and 90s? And you see how you came up. I'm a Laker friend. Okay. Now, we associate, we identify ourselves with what we like, whom we cherish. That also forms a state of ego. If I say, I love this game because I love this player, so I identify myself with that player. If I'm a, for example, a flute player, I'm in the music, and if you give a performance in an orchestra and where the listeners or the audience is so ecstatic with your flute playing, they give you a standing ovation at the end of it. Next day, you have a performance again. Would you be happy with your yesterday's performance? I doubt it. You would like to, sure, to become better. You like to perform better than what we did yesterday. This is improvement. But to think that, you see, there is nobody better than me as a flute player or a basketball player in the whole California or in entire United States. But that ego becomes now arrogance. Then it will constrict your consciousness and it will not help you. So in making decisions, what am I doing? Am I becoming proud or am I having pride in my work? Or am I becoming arrogant? Am I subduing somebody who is subordinate? And since I'm a boss, should I be using my authority and subdue the other person's better opinion? When we meditate, we are able to understand the other person's so easily. We become so considerate and compassionate about everything. We try to understand the other persons, and when we try to understand, they are coming up with their best ideas, and as a result, organization improves. There will be more unity. There will be a teamwork in an organization, see? And fortunately, if the other person is also meditating, I think that will create heavenly atmosphere in a corporate world where everybody understands there is no competition. There is empathy. You see? Likewise, at the intellect level, I don't have to mentally dissect things so often when you become wiser. And that happens through, you know, inner introspection. You are playing out the thing within yourself, thinking when you meditate, if I do this, what happens? If I don't do this, what happens? Then there are other options will come. If I do that, so there are many options settling and unsettling. And finally, you are able to conclude with wisdom. So from an ego perspective, from an intellect perspective, it helps us. Now from mind, how does it help? Mind also influences the consciousness. The main role of mind is to think. Thinking is at a mental level. But as we evolve in meditation, I experience more with the heart than thinking with the mind. Let me explain this a bit more. When I used to do my business in New York, for 2 months, 3 months, I would ruminate over the problem. Answers may not, I mean, they didn't come so easily. Until wife asked, what is wrong with you? Then you'd share a story, oh, this is what is going on since the last 2-3 months. But she comes up with immediate answers. She's not thinking. She felt the problem and gave the solution. Women have this strength of referring to the heart instantly, while we as men, we keep thinking logically. Thinking is inferior to feeling. So when you feel, you are able to give instant answers. And that's what happens during meditation, that you feel the problems.
Experience Adam's insights and inspirational message by booking Adam to appear at your company, on your campus, or at your next event. Adam's keynotes and workshops on leading in today's landscape, becoming your best self, and lessons learned from America's top leaders leave audiences inspired and better equipped to excel personally and professionally. Visit adammendler.com to learn more and to bring Adam to your organization.
how do you reduce stress in your life?
I appreciate, you know, these new scientific discoveries in the medical science. You heard of vaccination. Of course, there are a lot of debates going on these days. But vaccination is a great thing to me. It prevents diseases as far as it doesn't have side effects. To remain stress-free, I need to vaccinate my mind. Once the stress has kicked into your system, it becomes quite challenging to de-stress yourself. But this way of meditation, instead of meditating, we also have a special technique. We call it rejuvenation. If you use this technique of rejuvenation with our preceptors or the trainer, they will de-stress your system within 20 minutes. So one can try it also and feel totally distressed and feel at calm. So I really encourage the audience to listen and try out this rejuvenation methods of heartfulness.
You're a yoga master, literally a yoga master. I mean, I've taken a lot of yoga classes. I've been practicing yoga for several years now. And I look around the room anytime I take a yoga class and I'm blown away by how much better everyone in the room is than me. And I see people and I say, wow, she's a yoga master. He's a yoga master. But you're actually a yoga master. Can you tell our audience some things that they should know about yoga? I mean, obviously in the U.S., yoga is an extremely popular practice. It's a lot more popular in India. It's popular globally. But I mean, it's not every day that we have the opportunity to hear from someone with such deep insight on the topic. I would really just love for you to give our audience some inside insight.
Well, you want me to reveal the secret? The great secret I'm going to share with you today is, unfortunately, in the Western world, yoga is understood in a very limited way. They think it's asanas where you do the physical exercise. At the most, some people will learn how to do this breathing exercise, and that's all. But yoga is not just that. Yoga has much more to it than that. Yoga also includes meditation. It also includes samadhi. It includes pratyahara, and so many other steps are there. And I would recommend people to start first with meditation and then incorporate physical exercises or breathing exercises. Because once your mind is disciplined, next thing to discipline, it becomes very easy. Yoga is all about union. Your meaning of yoga is very simple, meaning union. Union of what? Union of my whatever consciousness I have. Allow it to soar higher into super consciousness and allow it also to plunge into deepest level of my subconscious. So when I move from whatever consciousness I have, it will go higher and go lower. That means it becomes broader. My consciousness bandwidth will become broader and broader and broader. And this is how we evolve in yoga. But most people don't seem to pay attention to consciousness. They only remain limited to this physical exercise of asanas. So I would encourage everyone to start first the meditation and then slowly take up asanas.
A big topic that you speak a lot about is improving motivation. First question on the topic is, as a leader, what advice do you have on how to better motivate the people around you and the people under you?
The only way I do is by setting an example from my side. Even in the business world, you know, when I had to do something, instead of telling others, I would do it first and people will follow it and how to do it correctly. So first motivation would be by becoming an example. In a family situation also, you know, we tell children, please don't go on playing with iPad or iPhone for so long, or stop watching cartoons or stop watching TV. But what to do when you yourself have a special TV in the bedroom and you are sleeping with saying goodnight to your phone or your Twitter message and putting under the pillow, and you expect your teenage girl or your daughter not to do it? It's not going to happen. We have to become an example. We have to set an example first. Only that will motivate it, not the words.
So the my follow-up question to you is, how do you motivate yourself on the days you don't feel motivated?
Okay. This is the generic question. The day I don't feel motivated, it's only for one thing or the other. You see, I don't feel motivated for what? Maybe I don't want to go to work, perhaps. Or I don't feel motivated to cook my breakfast and have breakfast. But I feel motivated to go to sleep, perhaps. So find what motivates you and go to sleep. Because to me, when you don't feel like doing anything, or go to sleep. Sleep is the best thing that you can do. It's a sleep with a superpower. It will enrich us like nothing else.
You probably have a special superpower, which involves reading my mind, because you literally transitioned into my final question, which is, how can we sleep better?
Again, my friend, meditate well. But I see, you know, there's a special problem with, at all ages, I think we are struggling with sleep. We are not made to sleep after midnight, for example. Human system cannot withstand all that. Our system is too fragile. It can withstand up to a certain age, maybe 30, 35, 40 perhaps, that you can stay all night awake. And next day also you may be able to go to work. But after a certain age, it catches on us. I'm able to sleep. Within 5, 10 minutes, I can go to sleep very easily. If I cross more than 10 minutes or 15 minutes some days, I would think, I just lie down and think that the cold air is blowing over my head, or cool breeze is descending and whole entire body is becoming another cooler by another 3 to 4 degree temperature. So I mentally imagine that my whole system is cooling down. And doing that, I fall asleep very fast. Most important thing I would say is we have to sleep at a regular time. We need to establish a kind of a biological clock in our system so that we don't suffer much at a health level. You take a statistics of people working at night. That means they are not sleeping at night. They are sleeping during daytime. Though they are sleeping 8 hours as required during daytime, but not sleeping at nighttime itself compromises our health. Especially you look at nurses, doctors, healthcare workers, truck drivers, who are working all night sometimes. Their health, their age, be greatly affected by not sleeping properly at night. What happens to us when we are not sleeping properly at night? Next day, we become irritable, we become angry. So does this not tell us something, that we have lost some level of focus? So we need to readjust our life. And if we don't sleep properly, most toxins which gets biologically, physiologically removed from our nervous system, they don't get removed. So the toxin buildup will remain in the brain. And that becomes the cause of our Alzheimer's and many other diseases. Moreover, when we don't sleep properly, our immunity also suffers. We remain prone to various infections. Blood pressure also suffers. Heart rate suffers. A student who has not slept all night and attends the classes, his attention remains compromised by 40%. He will not be able to recollect 40%. So, I mean, we pay a big price when we don't sleep properly. And also, after reading well, after preparing the class well, that night, if you don't sleep, the memory consolidation will not happen in your brain. You will forget most of the things that you have learned if you didn't sleep. So to me, that's why I call sleep is a superpower. You know, it provides longevity, it gives us health, both mental and physical.
Dr. Patel, clearly a man of many superpowers, thank you for joining us. Thank you for your wisdom, for your expertise. Very much appreciated.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much. I wish you well. and meditate if you
can.
Download the app, Hearts app.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you for listening to 30 Minute Mentors. If you enjoyed the podcast, spread the word and feel free to tag Adam at Adam Mendler. You can also head to adammendler.com for more episodes and to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. And don't forget to join us next week for another episode with another one of our 30 Minute Mentors.